The sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 17, starting with verse 22. That's Luke 17, starting with verse 22. Luke 17, starting with verse 22. And he said to his disciples, "The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look there, look here.' Do not go away and do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, and they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day of the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on his housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, and the other will be left." And answering, they said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the body is, there also the vultures will be gathered." Pray with me. Father, help us now as we center on what you have said. We pray for the work of your Holy Spirit, that we who are spiritual will be able to discern spiritual truth, that we will have knowledge, and that we will have confidence, and that we will have love for you, who you really are, and love for what you have said. May this change us and move us and grow us. May we advance from strength to strength. May we grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you will be glorified in our love. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We look at this passage and it is confusing. It is confusing to me. I want to take it and I want to set it aside and say, let me study this for a couple of decades and then let me come back and preach on just this passage. When we look at the prophecies of Scripture, they can be very confusing because sometimes they play out over a period of time and we'll have partial fulfillments as time goes along. I could give a human example. If you know that Nate had a birthday this past week, I could describe his birthday to you and I could say, family gathered around and they rejoiced. We were all so happy about that day. We ate and we had a great time and everybody who was there could nod and say, yes, that's right. And then I could say, and there was weeping, and there was gnashing of teeth, there was screaming, and there was blood on Nate's birthday. All of these are true. As we look backward in time, Nate's birthday celebration moving back. If I talked about his birthday, I could talk about his 20th birthday, his 19th birthday, his 18th birthday. Go back to the literal day of his birth. and we would scratch our heads and say, wait a second, all of that? Yes, all of that. It's the same thing with the day of the Lord in Scripture. When the prophet says, on the day of the Lord, this judgment will come and this will happen. And then that happens to Jerusalem. Later on, another prophet can say, on the day of the Lord, and that comes. But it looks forward to an ultimate fulfillment, an ultimate day of the Lord, just like as we would talk about a birthday in the past, the truest birthday that actually took place. Jesus speaks to his disciples. He talks about a day of the Lord, a day of judgment that is coming. He touches on an idea and he says, if you're on your roof when this judgment comes, don't go in and grab your phone. It's not going to do you any good. Run. Get out of there. Now, here is why I say Jesus is talking about one of the birthdays as it applies to all. When Jesus Christ comes back and he lights up one side of the sky and it flashes to the other and all men see him, does it make any sense to run? Can you get away from him on that day? Will running out of the city do anyone any good? No. On that great day, the day of the Lord, the actual birthday, if we want to go back to that illustration, heaven and earth will flee from his presence and mankind will be left standing before him. There will be no fleeing. There will be no arguing. There will be no self-justifying at that moment. Jesus talks about a judgment that's coming on Jerusalem. And when the Romans come in, he said, run. Run. Don't go back into your house to get anything. Run. Get out of there. And if you want to read about that, look up Josephus on the destruction of Jerusalem. It is more horrible than anything any of us have ever seen. And it's just a taste of the last great day, the true day of the Lord. Now for us, what do we do since we're not living in Jerusalem? We're not looking forward to and fearing 70 AD when God sends the Romans in and destroys Jerusalem for having rejected Jesus Christ. Well, we are in the United States of America, that is actively rejecting Jesus Christ as King. We are not bowing the knee to Jesus Christ. We are not announcing him and proclaiming him. We are not upholding the first four commandments of God's commandments and honoring him as the one true God. We are not actively keeping his day as a nation. We are not honoring and loving one another, protecting the weak and honoring human life. We are guilty. We are as guilty as Jerusalem. We have been given the full revelation of God. You and I, we're in a tight spot. We are in a land that's guilty and stained with the innocent blood of the countless unborn. We are in a land where his day is not kept or honored. We are in a land where his name is actively blasphemed constantly. We stand with those who will be judged. What do we do? What do we do? But individually, as families, as church, we prepare ourselves for the day of the Lord. Our first step is to center on Christ. Jesus describes a day when he has been taken away. Jesus describes the day after he has been resurrected and he has gone to the Father. In verse 22, and he said to the disciples, the day will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. We come to this place and Jesus describes, if you love me, you're going to long for me. Now, all of us, myself included, we're largely so self-medicated that we don't know what we're longing for. Even those of us who are calling on Jesus Christ, how often are we in the place where we say, I long for Jesus to come. I long to see His face. I long for His actual presence. I long for things to be set right. I long for food more often than I long for Jesus to come back, I'm afraid. And that's a terrible, sad commentary. And I imagine most of you, if not all of you, are with me on that. I long for people. I long for comfort more than I long for Christ. Well, we talk about putting off sin and putting on righteousness. Fasting is one of those principles that help us to put Christ in the center, where we replace a meal with prayer and Bible reading, where we come close to Christ and we say, you satisfy me, you fill me. We come into place, we center on Christ when we recognize the necessity for His atoning death, that He brings us to the Father. Jesus brings this in verse 25, talking about the day when He comes in His glory. He says, but first, He, that is Christ, must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Pull that into the context of love again. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. This is the center of the Christian life. Jesus' atoning death. That He has loved you. That you are loved. That Christ and the Heavenly Father looks on you with favor. He rejoices in the assembly of His people. He rejoices in you as individuals. He shouts for joy or even sings over you with delight. How much of our attention and our affections and our motivation is to win the favor of man? But you already have the favor of Christ. You are already loved, and we find ourselves in the right place when we are centering there. For some of us, we have to look back and look at that break that we made with the world in a day. Or at one point we were living for ourselves, and then we saw that Jesus died for us, and we say, I give you my life now. Do you have that day? If you don't have that day and that point in history, have you made that break? Have you laid down your life? Are you daily picking up your cross and walking with Him? You don't have to have a date on a calendar for this to be a reality. But there does have to be a change in you where you are saying, I am following Christ. There is nothing higher for me than following Christ. My chief end, my highest purpose is to glorify Him and enjoy Him. This is the place of the Christian. This is the place where Christ is centered. And our joys as well as in our trials. Our next step, number two, is to watch out for fakes and replacements. There will always be the opportunity for fakes and replacements for Christ Jesus in the world. In verse 23, Jesus says, they will say to you, look there, look here, saying, there's the Christ. There's the Messiah. There's the one who will save us. There is the one who will rescue us. There is the answer for us. Jesus says, don't follow that. Don't go in for that. Don't go running around looking for this and looking for that. He is the all in all. He is the answer. He is our rescue. He describes that when he comes, you will know it. Again, verse 24. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. When he comes back in power, everybody's going to see it. There won't be a question. Watch out for fakes. Watch out for replacements. And those are for literal men, but we'll look at other applications when we come to the end. So our third step now is to look for your longing. Verse 22 again. And he said to his disciples, the days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. Where is your longing? What are you actively looking for? What are you actively longing for? There are times in my life when I have had different meditations. There was a time when I was in grade school, there was one particular TV show on Friday night that I longed to see, and I actually counted my days based on that show. On Monday, I would say 5 days. Tuesday, I would say 4 days. On Wednesday, I would say the day after tomorrow is that day. I remember sitting in the class in school thinking, the day after tomorrow, then my show will be on. Is there something like that for you? Is there something that you think is going to fulfill you? Going to meet your need? For some of us, maybe you think in terms of a hurt, an injury that you have on your heart that you're waiting for someone to heal, someone to fix. Look at your sin and consider when you run after a sin, what itch are you trying to scratch? What are you trying to satisfy? What are you trying to fill? Is it just an aimless distraction, or is it some comfort that you're running after? For some of us, it's a person. If I just had this person closer to me in my life, I would be satisfied. Or if I had this category or this kind of person closer to me, I could be satisfied. Or if this person who is in my life would just do it right, I would be satisfied and my needs would be met. For many of us, probably all of us, personal comfort is one of those longings. Just to satisfy ourselves with food or drugs or alcohol or the endorphins that come from adventure. I used to be an adrenaline junkie and could satisfy myself in that way. In those days, I wasn't happy. I couldn't be happy unless I was standing on top of a building or a bridge that I had climbed or enemies were literally laying down at my feet. I would feel satisfied and fulfilled by those endorphins. What are the things that give you your endorphins? What are the things that you long for? How do you try to fill yourself? Well, it's as if at this point, Jesus takes them and he grabs them and he gives them a good shake. He says, listen about this judgment. Listen about this thing that is coming. None of this can be about your earthly longings. None of this can be about your earthly fulfillments. I am coming back in my glory, and no one is going to hide from me. There will be a day. We see in verses 26 through 32 the judgment on both Jerusalem and the foreshadowing of the judgment that will come upon the whole earth. And in verse 31, on that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. Nothing's going to help. Nothing is going to help you in that day. There is nothing that you can collect that will save you or rescue you or help you when Christ's judgment comes. It is the reckoning that is coming. A setting of everything right. In Matthew 16:27, For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. How terrible. How terrifying. There is not a single good day that any of us can look to and say, if only He would have come on that day. On that day, I was good. On that day, I pulled it off. I used to imagine in fear before I believed in the perseverance of the saints that all of my sins were covered by Christ. I used to believe that for every sin that I committed, even after salvation, my salvation was lost. It was gone. And that I had to really repent. I had to really believe. I had to ask for forgiveness. And I thought, what if He comes back before I can ask for forgiveness? According to that school of thought, all of us would be going to hell. But in the place where Jesus has paid for all of your sins, when He comes back to judge, your sins have already been judged in Christ. Jesus had to suffer many things because He loves you. God demonstrated His great love for you in this. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. This puts ourselves in that place to center on Him, to put our affections on Him, to set Him higher than anything else. Our fifth step is to watch out for your affections for the world and the things of the world. These things, when I was a child, my mother asked me, she said, "All right, if I told you the house was on fire, what would you grab? If I told you you had 2 minutes to get something out of the house, what would be the most important thing to you?" We can look at our lives and ask ourselves that question. What are the most important things to you? Where does your time go? Where does your money go? Where is your affection going? Where is your longing going? What are you looking forward to? We have to grab ourselves. Grab our hearts. Force ourselves to turn to and make it Christ Jesus. To love Him above everything else. As Jesus tells the account in verses 32 and 33, He says, "Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. She's being pulled out of judgment. She is being taken away as the city is being destroyed and everyone in it is being destroyed. And there was something in her heart that longed for something back there, to where she wasn't looking to deliverance, but she looked back at her stuff being taken away." What is your stuff? What are you longing for? These idols of the heart. We come back to Colossians 3:5. "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry." These things coming between you and Christ. Consider the immorality of your life, the immorality of your eyes, the immorality of your bodies, the immorality in your longings. what this says about the direction of our heart. Consider your comfort and wealth and running after wealth and money being your comfort. Consider how you long for the praise of men. Consider how you run after entertainment. Consider your temporary or your temporal comforts in this world. How important all of these things are to us. And it's like we're being drugged by an angel to glory, but we keep looking back and grasping at these other things to feed us and comfort us rather than Christ. How ready are you? What are you holding on to? What are you longing for? Make certain it's Christ. Make certain it's His Word. Make certain it's His worship. Make certain you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you long for His day. And put off all of the idols of your heart. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank You for having spoken to us in Your Word. We thank You for warning us, for instructing us, for teaching us. Please bless us, Father, and help us not to forget Your Word, Your glory, and Your truth. Please be our comfort, our satisfaction, our chief end. And may we put off every sin that so easily entangles for You and Your glory. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.